Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue with this series about Bill Johnson and his church in Reddington, California. Some of the things that go on there and some of the particular doctrines that he's teaching. Again, this is very important. You might be wondering, why Bill Johnson? Well, because Bill Johnson and somewhat of a daughter movement that sprung from his church, Jesus Culture, which is a band/movement. In fact, they're starting a church, this Jesus Culture, and it is sweeping the nation's youth. My goodness, this is a movement that is taking our youth by storm. And guys, us Christians are at fault because we're not teaching our children the Bible, the scriptures, the truth. And so when crazy winds of doctrine come along like this, these movements, well, friends, they take our youth off guard. Because, look, this movement has a cause. It's got a lot of character. It appears to have a lot of authority. And by golly, it's fun, all right? I've been a part of this movement. It's fun until the day you start realizing that what you're doing and what the Bible says doesn't match. And suddenly something doesn't feel right anymore. You start getting this sick feeling in your stomach every time you hear this weird stuff that your pastor's pushing. Well, friends, we need to band together and take our youth back. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump right in and look at some more of these beliefs of Bill Johnson. All right, so going back to that book, When Heaven Invades Earth, it is a strange book, to say the least. But one of the things that's taught in there, I just wanted you guys to understand that whole concept of him bringing the word down and elevating subjective experiences, because that's going to lay a foundation for everything else we talk about. Once you depart, once you, as he said, go off the map, and he goes way off the map, once you're off the map, once you're not searching the scriptures daily to find out whether Bill Johnson and what he says is actually so, all this other crazy nonsense that we're going to talk about here following is going to follow. This kind of stuff will happen. Bill Johnson believes that, he states in his When Heaven Invades Earth, this concept that when Christ was on earth, he was just a man. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but that miracles are produced through formulas. And Jesus just simply figured out these formulas. The hyper-charismatic church that I was a part of, you saw a lot of that in practice, but I will give the pastor this. He would often warn us against getting stuck in a rut of thinking that miracles were from formulas by doing the same thing over and over. So we want to, you know, for example, heal a blind man. Let's go grab some mud, or I'm sorry, some dirt, hock a loogie in it, make some mud out of it and put it in somebody's eye and they're going to get their sight back. He was very much against formulas. Well, Bill Johnson, not so much. In his book, Jesus was just a man. Okay. When he was on earth, he completely gave up his divinity and became just a man, only man. There was nothing divine about him. And then he learned, you know, the ninja wizard tactics of, I just made that up, sorry guys. He learned the ways, these formulas of producing miracles. And so, and Bill Johnson does this so that his congregation can swallow the pill of believing that they too can be just like Jesus and perform all the miracles that he does. Okay? Interesting. All right. So here's Bill Johnson from his When Heaven Invades Earth. He says, salvation was not the ultimate goal of Christ's coming. The ultimate goal was to fill each born-again person with the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. He also says the present-day understanding of preaching the gospel of the kingdom means to preach a message that will bring as many people to conversion as possible, But what did preaching the kingdom mean to Jesus? Every instance in which he either did it or commanded it, miracles follow. And so what we have in Bill Johnson's church is this feeling of, or this desire that we all need to be performing miracles. Miracles should follow us everywhere we go. And so what you're going to have is a church full of people that are either pretending, you know, this whole concept of fake it until you make it. Oh man, I have seen that. Holy smokes, have I seen that. Fake it until you make it. And that's what you're going to experience in a Bill Johnson type church or Bill Johnson's church. You're going to find people trying to practice prophesying over each other. You're going to have people praying over people and saying that they're healed even though they're not healed. And then it's going to turn out later that they weren't actually healed. Then you're going to have these little wars going on where one person's going to be thinking, well, you didn't really heal me, while the other person's saying, no, you really were healed, but you weren't walking in your healing, which is utter nonsense. Nowhere in the Bible do you have to walk out your healing. Good grief. But guys, why were there miracles in Christ's ministry? Why was that? And most of you already know this answer. The miracles that were coming from Christ and also from his apostles were to show God's endorsement of what they were teaching. All right? That's what was going on. God was putting a stamp of approval on it. Now, Luke 19, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came here to save the lost. His primary mission was not to have everybody running around performing miracles. His mission was not to get everybody thinking they're talking to the Holy Spirit and coming up with strange doctrines. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I said unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." All right, what we see here in this verse, or this passage, Jesus works the works of the Father. In other words, he's doing divine work here. He makes himself equal with God. The Jews immediately recognized this and tried to stone him. To make yourself equal with God is to claim in the flesh, claim divinity. All right? He does the work of the Father, as in he does what he sees the Father doing. This is interesting. And you see this concept. I talked about this during the Word of Faith series a little bit, and I think I talked about it during the Todd Bentley series as well. The Holy Spirit does what the Father is doing. Right? The Holy Spirit does as the Father wills. And you have, I don't know about Bill Johnson's church, but you have people affiliated with Todd Bentley. You have people all over in the Word of Faith movement. I've seen it personally, myself. These people that claim to have been in, you know, touched by the Holy Spirit, and then they start doing some wacky things, like making animal noises or rolling around on the floor and laughing hysterically, doing all kinds of irreverent, nonsensical, weird, hyper-charismatic circus nonsense. And this is supposedly what the Holy Spirit's doing. I know I'm kind of going off the path here, but Bill Johnson's church is very similar. You have people getting supposedly touched by the Holy Spirit, and then they break out into uncontrollable, irreverent, crazy laughter. It's not glorifying God in the least, okay? And supposedly the Holy Spirit is guiding them to act crazy like this, all right? And then they start acting like they're drinking new wine, new wine, new wine, new wine. Drink up, drink up, drink up. We had some people come to our hyper-charismatic church a little bit after I left, okay? But I heard about it through some people that were still there that were starting to have their doubts about the weird hyper-charismatic circus nonsense that was going on there. And the pastor and this man, Giorgio Banov, who also is a good friend of Bill Johnson's, okay? This guy's a musician of sorts. He's got some music that he puts out. In fact, I think we even ended up with one of his CDs. Anyway, these different people were visiting our church and talking about new wine. Okay, well, they would get up there with my pastor at the time, and they would act like they're drinking wine. All right, drink up the wine of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little angry now. They would act like they're drinking wine in front of the whole congregation. Irreverence. Total nonsense. They'd be doing these motions with their hands like they're upending a bottle or a wineskin. And then they'd be falling all over themselves, tripping over the drum set, knocking into the walls, you know, tripping, falling over the podium, acting like they're drunk. Is that what the Holy Spirit's doing? Is that what God wants his kids to be doing? If somebody came in from the street, they would be like, you guys are nuts. Or even worse, they would say you're part of a cult. And I would say that they probably have a pretty good argument. They could probably make a good case that that is cult-like behavior. But it is weird, hyper-charismatic, circus nonsense. It is totally irreverent, and it is offensive to our God to take something clean and make it unclean, to take God's word, God's gospel, his message, and then to get up in front of everybody and act drunk and act like a complete idiot. I just said that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I keep getting sidetracked. See, this kind of stuff gets me so worked up that I can't even stay on topic because there's so many things going on in these types of movements that are so nonsensical. I got an email from one of my dear listeners in South Africa. You know who you are. Shook me up with her testimony, which was amazing, but I won't get into that. And she's talking about how she's listened to many of Bill Johnson's sermons. She didn't hear him cite a scripture. He went through several sermons and maybe cited one or two scriptures throughout the whole thing. It's all hype, guys. There's no reading from the Bible. There's no learning God's word. There's not focusing on what God said. They always want something new. New wine, new manna, new this, new that, new wineskins. They're always trying to have something new. Forget what God said before. That's old, dusty, and rusty. We're going to go for something new. And guess what? When you start looking for new, you jump right into heresy because you're not focusing on what God already said and, like the Bereans, checking the scriptures daily to find out whether or not that's so. No, you're just going to empty your mind mystically like a mystic and try to get a download from something. And then, because you are your pride, you want to be the guy on the cutting edge and you actually compromise the word of God. You compromise God himself by coming up with your own aberrant feelings and strange communications that you get from who knows where obviously not from God, because a lot of times they contradict, flat out contradict God's word. Oh, no gospel, just subjective feelings and experiences. Here's a quote from Bill Johnson in his book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Salvation was not the ultimate goal of Christ's coming. All right, everybody sit down, calm down. Salvation was not the ultimate goal of Christ's coming. The ultimate goal was to fill each born-again person with the Holy Spirit. Where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? Here's another one. The present-day understanding of preaching the gospel of the kingdom means to preach a message that will bring as many people to conversion as possible. All right, that's what he's saying. The present day understanding of preaching the gospel means to preach a message that will bring as many people to conversion as possible. But here it comes. What did preaching the kingdom mean to Jesus? Every instance in which he either did it or commanded it, miracles follow. You see how miracles are always elevated in these types of movements. An unbiblical emphasis on miracles and subjective feelings. And so now here we have Bill Johnson trying to elevate miracles almost to the status of the gospel. I'm glad he at least included the gospel there. That's good. Let's get people saved. But, oh boy. This stuff, all right, you see all these people with horrible ailments, stuff that really could use some good old-fashioned healing, all right? And they never get healed. The stuff that you could medically verify and say, oh, that guy was missing a leg, now he has a leg. He was missing, I don't know, he was missing an eye, and he got his eye back. He clearly had this gigantic lump of cancer, now it's gone. Okay, stuff that is... verifiable. He was missing an ear. Now he has an ear. You never see that kind of healing taking place in these ministries. It's always something you can't see and you can't verify. You know, oh, I got this back pain. I'm healed. And then they jump up and down a couple times on stage. You might even catch a slight twitch of their face as they cringe in pain. But their adrenaline is going, and they want so bad for the miracle to have taken place that they claim their healing, and then they attempt to walk in their healing, and then it comes out later, a couple weeks later, that they weren't healed. And then, of course, it's always their fault. They didn't walk in the healing or this or that, but it doesn't matter. The film footage has been captured. The event took place, and now the leader is glorified as healing somebody else. And now it's their fault that they didn't walk and keep that healing. Something they did. Maybe they sinned. Maybe they expressed some doubt. Whatever the case, it doesn't matter. The blame is not on the leader. It's on the person. But why aren't these pastors that are walking in these healings and miracles, Bill Johnson, why aren't you walking into hospitals and cleaning house? I mean, seriously, what kind of witness would that give to the kingdom of God if somebody walked into a hospital and in the name of Jesus just cleaned it out? Just cleaned it out. Just bam, 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 you know, sorry, healing people. And everybody's getting up out of their wheelchairs and people are, you know, Bill Johnson walking through the SCU. Or I'm sorry, the ICU, the SCU. Sorry, I'm throwing out acronyms from the security industry here. The ICU, intensive care unit, running through there, and all these people who just got nasty car wrecks or whatever, and they could not stay alive if it wasn't for all the weird machines plugging them in. And then Todd Bentley or Bill Johnson or one of these guys just walks through there, you know, Benny Hinn, somebody who claims to have this amazing faith and healing power, just starts healing people. Where is that? Why hasn't that happened once? Not even once. Why hasn't that happened? If it's nothing more than a formula,
Why doesn't Bill go through the hospital and perform all of his spells and start cleaning house? It hasn't happened because, friends, these guys are not healing by the Holy Spirit. They are not healing through God. They are, I mean, this is charlatan work here. This is a show. It's a show. And the point is to get people worked up to a frenzy and a froth in such a way that they believe healings took place, but nothing happened. And then, well, guys, I would venture to say most of the people, if not all of the people claiming to be talking in tongues, are forcing it. Again, this is, they want so bad for something to be happening. And the tongues thing is the easiest thing to force, to fake. Now, I might have made several people mad. My position on tongues is not totally solidified, but I will say this. I would venture to say, this is a guess, this is my opinion, but most, if not all, the people who are speaking in tongues today, that's not tongues. All right? I would venture to say that. That is my opinion. I don't see the fruit of it. I don't see any fruit coming from it. I see no indication that God has his hands on it. And you always see these people who are speaking in tongues are always the same people who are buying into false prophecy. In fact, almost all of them are involved in false prophesying over other people. They're involved in aberrant, ungodly, unbiblical doctrines. Okay. And they're also involved with this hype and fake healing stuff. All right. And they're following around pastors and teachers and calling them godly men, these men who are clearly have nothing to do with God. All right. The fruit is just not there. And so anyway, miracles in the Bible, miracles, Jesus performed miracles. The apostles performed their miracles. It was to put God's stamp of approval on the message that they were preaching to everybody. Their message to everyone around them, their proof that their gospel was tight. It was from God, all right? I don't see Bill Johnson really preaching the gospel. I don't see it. I don't see him calling his people to repentance. I don't see him calling people back to God's word. I don't see him calling people back to living godly lives and going out on real mission trips. Okay, this is not the hyper-charismatic circus stuff where they're trying to go to another country and fake heal everybody and fake prophesy. I'm talking about mission trips where you're bringing people the gospel and they're being healed in the sense of their sins are being forgiven. They're calling upon Christ. They're repenting. And people are turning their hearts back to God. You're seeing this incredible change of heart. What really happens when the gospel hits an area? You don't see that. No, they sweep through an area. You see this spiritual, mystical spike in the area, which is rapidly, as soon as they leave, followed by a drop that, brings the gospel and Christianity to sublevels, levels that were not there before, below, as in people are falling away from the faith at a rapid rate, because as soon as this crazy leader leaves, immediately the whole thing falls apart, like Lakeland, Florida. As soon as Todd Bentley and his nonsense healing revival ended, because he got caught committing adultery on his wife, and he was cheating on his wife with another woman who he then eventually divorced his wife. He left his wife and his kids for another woman. That's a godly man for you. He leaves his wife and kids. Anyway, as soon as that revival falls apart, what happens? The whole area falls apart. It was like we had this Christian, quote unquote, spike in the area. And all of a sudden, as soon as that revival's over, all kinds, hordes of people are falling away from the faith. The whole thing crumbled. And where is Lakeland now? Where is the fruit of this mighty working of God? It's not there. It's not there. In fact, the opposite is true. And there are more people now in Lakeland who do not believe in God than there were before Todd Bentley arrived. And there are more false converts. There are more people who are against God who are part of this movement and got hurt by Todd Bentley's nonsense and now don't want anything to do with God. So anyway, Luke 19, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." Verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." His mission was not to come and get everybody shaken and quaking on the floor and rolling around with holy, quote-unquote, laughter, and to do fire tunnels and sozo. We'll talk about sozo later. And just this, he didn't come so that we could all stand around and play like we're drinking wine and then play like we're all getting drunk. That is silliness. And all of us who have taken part in that should be ashamed. We should be hitting our knees and asking for forgiveness. And I say that to myself. I've already asked for forgiveness. I've been present during some of these nonsensical drunk fests. Ooh, we're drinking the new wine. We're all drunk. Ha, 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 ha. We're all laughing. Yay. And we're playing a game. And we're offending a holy, amazing God who died on a cross for us. And we're making a mockery of him. Okay, so I ranted and I went a little bit long today. Really quick, friends, I have a dear listener whose son has what appears to be a tumor on his spine. And speaking of healings today, guys, apparently he's lost all feeling in his legs and he's no longer able to walk. And, oh man, my heart hurts. So, yeah, guys, if you can, please, I'm not going to tell you his name, but the Lord knows his name. And I just, let's send some prayer up to God for this boy and his family. And so anyway, if you guys would like to catch me and communicate with me, you can do so at my website, youthapologeticstraining.com. You can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.